I want you to take your Bible and go to the book of Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14. Let me talk about how good God's been. Imagine where you'd be without Him. Imagine where you'd be without the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, without Him in your life this morning. Lord, You're the best thing. Boy, the friendship, the fellowship that we have with Him. He's just been good to us. How many times has He come by? Like He was talking in that song. How the winds would blow and sorrows would come. But hadn't He always been faithful? I mean, He's a friend. He gives great fellowship. He's faithful to us this morning. And Lisa, that's one thing that the preacher said there the other day. Brother Powell had said, the chaplain there that was with us, he said he'd go over to those men and talk to them after they got saved. And he said, now there's something you need to understand. God cannot lie. He was faithful to save you if you ask Him to save you. And boy, ain't that good this morning, amen? And He's faithful to us this morning. Let's take a Bible, go to the book of Exodus, chapter 14, while we stand our feet. Exodus chapter 14, while we stand our feet this morning. I'm going to read one verse and we'll look at some things that God's given us and hopefully it'll be a help to you. Exodus chapter 14, look in verse 15. Exodus 14 and verse 15. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love You and we thank You for this day. We thank You for the singing that's already been sung. But Lord, we just need a touch from heaven today. Lord, I pray that You'd just come by and anoint us afresh and give good liberty while we might preach and encourage folk by the Word of God. Might I be able to point folk and at the Calvary today, Lord, that they might get saved. But there's folk in here today that's just going to need some direction in their life. And I pray they might find it. Lord, we sure do love You. And we thank You for dying for us so that we could be saved. Meet with us now. Help us preach. Save that sinner's news tale for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You can be seated. As the children of Israel, as they have left Egypt at this time, I want you to catch what's happened in the prior chapters just quickly. There had been another king that arose up that knew not Joseph, and that was important because Joseph was the one that through him that God had not only rescued the nation of Israel, but He'd also rescued the nation of Egypt and kept them through the time of famine. And in that time, in chapter 1 to chapter 2, when that king that rose up that knew not Joseph put Israel, had that in bondage, and in chapter 2, they began to cry out to God, to be free, and in chapters 3 and 4, God calls Moses to deliver Israel. And if you read in chapter 4, Pharaoh says no and begins to make it hard on the children of Israel. Let me say this, that God's people's not always got it easy. You need to understand that we have a mistaken thought process that when we got saved, that things was going to be easy. Now, it is easy sometimes. God helps us, but He says, you know, He talks about the fiery trials over in the book of Peter. There, as though some strange thing happened to you. Listen, we're going to go through times of testing, through times of trials, through times of tribulation. But God is always faithful. How to go through them. Even though the children of Israel done those things, God heard their cry when He called out, when they called out. And so God told Moses in chapter 6, go down there and see what I'm going to do to Pharaoh. And He renews that promise that He had made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So you get to chapter 7, Moses meets with Pharaoh and the magicians. And if you remember, he takes that staff and throws it down. It turns into a snake, into a serpent. The magicians do the same thing. Their staffs turned into serpents, but Aaron's rod over there ate them all up. Amen. And God proved who He was. And then we find that He begins to start with the 10 plagues. At the end of chapter 7 and chapter 8, 9, and 10, He deals with those 10 plagues from the lice and the murrain, the darkness, and all those things till we get to chapter 11. And God gets the children of Israel and that ready to go. Now, all through this, in those 10 plagues, God is declaring judgment upon the gods of Egypt. You have to understand that. They worshipped all kinds of gods over there, and those 10 plagues dealt with some of those gods that was in Egypt. that God was in control, and he was going to do as he pleased. God gets them ready to go in chapter 11. Says, go bury all that you, or borrow all that you can. And he warned them about the death of the firstborn. Chapter 12, God institutes the Passover, and we see the firstborn, the death of the firstborn, and the deliverance that God made in Egypt for the nation of Israel. In chapter 13, you find that God gives the law of the firstborn, and then God guides them by a pillar of cloud by day, and a pillar of fire by night. And that's where we're at. They have escaped in that out of the land of Egypt, and they're on their way. But something happens in chapter 14. If you look in verse 5, the Bible says, here Egypt is talking to themselves, and God has hardened the heart of Pharaoh again. And they said, why have we done this? That we have let Israel go from serving us. Well, how quick they forget of all the plagues, how quick they forgot that God killed the firstborn of everything. From every house, from the greatest to the least to the barn that was out there, every firstborn died. But yet God hardened their heart Egypt and Israel was going to get to see what God was going to do to Egypt this day. But I want to preach having a thought out of verse 15. I know we went through all that, but I wanted you to have an idea of what was going on right here. But I want you to look. Now, the children of Israel at this point has got the Egyptian army behind them. And they've got the Red Sea in front of them. And God says in verse 15, speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. How are they going to go forward with the Red Sea in front of them? I want to preach. I've thought about this message for the past 3 weeks to a month on when forward seems impossible. You know, forward sometimes is easy to do. We can see the path. God makes a path. It's a very plain path. I mean, the Bible talks about in Psalms 27, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. And sometimes the path of God for our life is very plain and very easy to travel. We know what, amen, right? Help me out now. Don't go sleep on me now. Do something. Do this. Wave your hand. Say amen. It helps the preacher when you get in with it here. But listen. Listen. It's very plain sometimes. But you know, here you've got the children of Israel that's been in bondage. They've been down in the land of Egypt for 430 years and bondage for 400 years. And they've just been made free. If you'd let me say, listen, you know, sometimes we look at new Christians, we look at newborn Christians, and we wonder why they don't get it sometimes. Well, they still got a lot of the world that they've got to figure out how to get out sometimes. And they got to figure out how to trust the Lord. Now, God has proved Himself. And by the way, if you go back and you look at chapter 12, with the Passover, I thought about this while I was studying. I make up about preachers sometimes. God made a big deal about bringing them up out of the land of Egypt. And if God makes a big deal about setting them free and making them free, shouldn't we make a big deal about when God makes somebody free and that from the wages of sin and that of debt because God saved them? Hey, I believe if God makes a big deal, what was it He said over there about that shepherd? He said that it lost the one sheep. He leads the 99 and he goes out and he finds the one that was lost. And when he comes back, he calls everybody and says, come and rejoice with me over the sheep that was lost is now found. Listen, ain't that the way we ought to be when somebody gets saved? Hey, amen. It ought to excite us when somebody gets saved. Hey, listen, I about had a little spell out there in my workshop when Brother Powell called me and said, them 12 boys got saved. I was sitting there on my lawnmower seat and I was just listening to him. And the more I thought about them 12 boys getting saved, I thought about how great God was to come through two fences. I sent some preachers down there to preach to them boys. I probably didn't even deserve to get saved. But God saved them anyway. And then I got to think about what God done for me. Friend, it'll do something on the inside of you. But there comes a time in life when forward is not as easy to do as we'd like it to be. When forward, you keep hearing, go forward, but forward seems to be an impossibility. The direction that God gives seems to be wrong. I could imagine some of them saying, are we going to have to swim across this river? I mean, think about it for a minute. The Red Sea is out there in front of them. They've got the Egyptian army behind them. By the way, God took that pillar of fire and set down between them and the nation of Egypt, the army back there, and protected them. Gave darkness to Egypt. It's always dark in the world, ain't it? And gave light to Israel. So that they didn't go next to each other. Could you imagine that? Israel could see everything that was going on. And them boys on the other side with the Egyptian army, they couldn't see nothing. And so, I mean, I can imagine as one was trying to go around the other, but listen, that they were told to go forward. Go forward. But forward's an impossibility. I want to look at four things when it's forward seems to be an impossibility. Number one, they were where God wanted them to be. Now look in verse 1 of chapter 14. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pahoroth, between Migdal and the sea, over against Baal-Zephon. Before it shall ye encamp by the sea. Now read in verse 9. But the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea beside Pahoroth before Baal-Zephon. Now they were exactly where God wanted them to be. Now I think some people, they want to go forward, but they're not exactly where God wants them to be. You know, sometimes there's a roadblock in front of you. I thought about Balaam and that donkey he had over there. And that donkey could see that angel standing out there that had that sword in his hand and was trying to keep him from going. And you know, one time it just fell down. Another time it run off out into the field. And the third time it finally just crushed his leg up against the wall. And he got off that donkey and beat the fire out of it. And the donkey turned and talked to him. Now, if I got a donkey that turns and talks to me, I'm going to be wondering about some things. And I'm going to be looking for that angel, too, at the same time, Brother Marvin. But there stood that angel that had that sword in his hand and was not going to let... And that donkey had enough sense, more sense than Balaam did, and that to go to see King Balak. Sometimes when forward is an impossibility, it's impossible because God don't want you going that way. Sometimes it's a roadblock that God puts up, but if you're where you belong at, and God says go forward, then put yourself forward. Notice right here that they were encamping about where God wanted them to be. You notice that God, if you go back and you look over here, and you look in the scripture in verse 3, for Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land, the wilderness has shut them in, and I, talking about the Lord, will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he shall follow after him, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord, and they did so. One, God put them there as a bait and that to draw out the enemy. God was fixing to allow Israel and that to see exactly what God could do. If you look in verse 13 over here, one of the greatest verses in the Bible where the Lord said, fear you not, stand you still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he shall show to you this day. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. So God done this. So that Israel could see exactly the capability of God. Sometimes God makes forward seems like an impossibility so that me and you will learn to trust God and we can see God work. Which one was the greater miracle? When God parts the Red Sea here in a minute and they all cross on dry ground, or when Moses rears back and God closes the Red Sea? And by the way, if you read your Bible right there, he made the wheels fall off the chariots. And the Bible said they drove hard up into the Red Sea over there. And then God drowned them. Which one was the greater miracle? That God parted it and dried the land for them to cross over? Or that God knocked the wheels off and then drowned all the Egyptian army over there? Which one does he talk about more? If you go back there and look, you'll find that he talks more about the Egyptian army being drowned than he does them crossing on dry ground. It's both a miracle, don't misunderstand me. But God was trying to get them to a place out of where they could see him work. Sometimes forward's an impossibility because God wants us to see what he's able to do. You ever been in a place where you didn't know what to do? But you just had, I'm getting way ahead of myself, but you just had to stand and wait on God. Although you know you need to go this route, you know you need to go forward. Listen, have you ever doubted you get somewhere, know what God wants you to do, and then when you get there, there's a roadblock, and forward is an impossibility, and then you wonder, well, is this the place we ought to be in? Is this the place that God really wants us to go? God wanted them to see his power. God wanted to be honored in all that he done right here. As a matter of fact, if you read chapter 15, and I'll get there in a minute too, they do honor God for what he does. But they were minding God. They were exactly where God wanted them to be. Now some of this, it ain't going to matter to you this morning because forward's not an impossibility to you today. If you're serving God and you're sold out on God and you're right where you want to be and everything's going good, then this message is not going to mean a whole lot to you. But if you're standing and trying to serve God and go forward, but there just seems to be a roadblock in front of you, I want you to pay attention. God's got you there for a reason. I thought about Gideon's tent. You know, Gideon started out with 32,000 men. Then he ended up with, 22,000 men. And then he ended up with 300 men. Can you imagine as God whittled that down? You're talking about a revival. Every time Gideon said something, he just kept losing more men, didn't he? I was being a little facetious there, by the way. I mean, he gets up there and says, if you're afraid, just go home, 10,000 men. Is that right, 10,000 men? Yeah, 10,000 men, go home. And he's left with 22,000. And depending on how the next 22,000 drinks out of the water, whether they put their face down in there and lap it up, or whether they sup it up out of their hand, is going to determine whether they're going to be kept or not. And Gideon's being told, go down there and whip the Midianites. That's what he's being told. And every time he turns around and God says, whip the Midianites, go down there and whip the Midianites, go down there and fight the Midianites, every time he turns around, he's losing people everywhere he goes. Think about it for just a second. And God finally told him, said, Gideon, if you're afraid, go on down to the camp of the Midianites and hear what they have to say. And so one of those men said, I had a dream last night. And the other one said, well, what was it? And he said, I saw this big pancake rolling in here and it just destroyed all the tents in here. And his feller over there said, well, that's no more than the sword of Gideon that's going to come in here and destroy us. And the Bible said he worshipped right there. Sometimes we just need to know that we're where God wants us to be. And then number two, then we got to wait on God to see what he wants to do for us. Don't be backing up and don't be idle. God said, you tell the children of Israel in verse 15 that they go forward. There's a sea out there. How are they going to go forward? Get pointed toward the sea. Get as close to the sea as you can get. And then stand there and wait. What did he say right there? He said, fear ye not and stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. All they could see was the enemy behind them. Right? They knew the enemy was back there. God had separated them from the enemy. The enemy could not get them. Hey, has God not separated you from the enemy? The enemy cannot destroy you. The enemy cannot make you sin. The enemy cannot separate you from God. The enemy cannot. Hey, listen, he might be able to whoop up on us from time to time, but greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Listen, we are on the winning side this morning. If you go back and you look, the Bible said in verse 10, and when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. They saw the enemy. They were looking back to see the enemy, wasn't they? Right?
They had to be turned around and looking back to see the enemy. You know, no man having laid his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. So they were looking at the enemy. How many times has the enemy jumped up on our shoulder and said, you're just in the wrong place, because if this is where you belonged at, if you were supposed to go forward, if this is what you were supposed to do, then God would make a way. The Bible said it'd be a plain path. If you ain't careful, the devil will use Scripture against you, taken out of context. Is that not what he done to the Lord over in Matthew chapter 4? You know? Told him, if you jump off the temple up here, he said, you know, that you wouldn't even dash your foot against the thing. You're going to go over and read all that, you know. How many times has Satan jumped up on our shoulder and said, this ain't right? And he discouraged him. You know what? They could have walked away. I got to thinking about this while I was studying this. If you look right here, they began to complain and murmur to Moses. And they said unto Moses in verse 11, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians that we should die in the wilderness. Let me ask you, is that really a true statement? They were in bondage. They were slaves down in the land of Egypt. Let me ask you where you'd rather die at. Would you rather die in the wilderness being free as to be... I remember what Brother Jim White said one time. He said, I'd rather live in a grass hut eating out of wood bowls with wooden spoons and wooden forks and know that I'm free than to live in the greatest mansion that there ever was and have shackles about me. I thought, what a statement. I'd rather live free or die trying. That's the problem we've got in our nation today, ain't it? Folks is willing to give up their freedom. I'd rather have freedom. Was it Thomas Jefferson that said that timid men would rather have despotism than to have the turbulent seas of liberty? You know what despotism means? That means an armed ruler. Timid men would rather let somebody rule over them harshly than to fight in the turbulent seas of liberty. I'd rather be free. Hey, they spoke, men and women's died so that men, you can be free. I mean, we forget this stuff so much. We talk about it and it just becomes just a saying that we say on Veterans Day and the 4th of July and Memorial Day. We talk about those things and then we live our life as though it don't matter. No, I want to be free, man. I've been working on a message on when is it time to fight. Those men fought to keep us free. All the way back. I'm going to get hung up on soapbox if I ain't careful. But they had to wait on God. The enemy was behind them and they were looking at it or looking at them and said, they're going to get us. And if they turn forward like God said to go, they seen the Red Sea that they could not conquer. They couldn't conquer the army and they could not conquer the Red Sea. They couldn't build a boat fast enough. They couldn't swim fast enough. They couldn't do none of those things to get across the Red Sea. You should have just left us in Egypt and let us die down there. And if you read your Bible through the whole book of Exodus to Deuteronomy, Moses dealt with that same statement his whole ministry. God would do something great. I want to show you something. If you read chapter 15, for the most part of chapter 15, they sing about what God done at the Red Sea. They sing about it. They talk about how God drove the horse and the rider out into the water. And God done these things. You get to verse 22 of chapter 15. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea and they went out in the wilderness of Shur and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, and by the way, Marah means bitter, they could not drink of the waters of Marah for they were bitter. There you go. Therefore the name of it is called Marah. And the people murmured
against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? 3 days from what they had just seen God do, they hit a little bitter spot in life and they began to complain. So the Lord shows him a tree. It's always good to see the tree, ain't it? It's always good to see the tree. And so they cast the water, or cast the tree in the water, and it became sweet in verse 25. And he says, if you'll just hearken unto the Lord, the Lord keep you. And all these things in verse 27, and they came to Elam, where there were 12 wells of water and 3 score and 10 palm trees, 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters. You know, if we'll just keep going forward, we'll eventually run into good water. See, if they would have just kept on going, you know, they finally got to Elam and ran into some good water. As a matter of fact, they ran into 12 wells. How many tribes were there? Or 12 tribes? Seems like each tribe had their own well, don't it? But look in chapter 16. And they took their journey from Elam. I didn't intend to do all this, but here we are. And the congregation of the children of Israel came on the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elam and Sinai, on the 15th day of the 2nd month after departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full, for ye have brought us forth in the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Moses dealt with that the whole 40 years that he circled out in the wilderness. We should have just left us alone, Moses. Have you ever looked back to God and said, Lord, I wish you'd never saved me? My life was easier when I was unsaved. That's what they were saying. Lord, it was better when we were in bondage than being free. Some of you think Joshua had it better than Moses did. You know, Joshua had to go fight, didn't he? Moses and the children of Israel wandered for 40 years. And then after God delivered them out of the wilderness over here and sent them across the Jordan River, Joshua and them had to fight. But at least they were headed forward, wasn't they? That's another message for another time. You should have left us in Egypt, Moses. You should have just left us down there. Notice when people get discouraged, they begin to look back at their old life sometimes and say, well, we had it better before. I've never had it better than what I've had it right now. I mean, there's been times in my life we've had more money. There's been times in my life when I've made more money. But I'm going to be honest with you, I've got it made. Got it made. It's not riches of this world that gets us made, friend. Hey, listen, it's knowing the Lord is our Savior and following Him and living for Him. Hey, it's the blessings of the Lord that maketh rich, and He addeth no sorrow to it. So here they are. They're looking at the army behind them, the Red Sea in front of them, and God is telling them in verse 15, go forward! That may be where you're at. So in verse 13, God gives Moses a word. He said, fear ye not. That's what they were doing. And no doubt Moses might have been fearing the nation of Israel. They were wanting to go back to Egypt. Man, ain't no telling what they're liable to do. And then he said this, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And then he not only said that, he said, in verse 14, he said, the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. A lot of times when we hear go forward, we start trying to work things out so that we can go forward. A lot of times we try to invent a way of how God might want us to go. Now, I believe in listening to the Lord, and if He says go this way, then you go that way. But a lot of times in my life, I hear go forward and I begin to construct and work a way up in my mind. How can I go forward? How's this going to work out? How are we going to make it happen? And I think those are all good questions to ask sometimes, but we got to understand we can't make it happen sometimes. We're going to have to stand on the bank of the Red Sea knowing that the army is breathing down our neck, and we're just going to have to stand still and wait on God. You know, if the Egyptian army was not breathing down their neck, it wouldn't have been such a big deal to stand still. But when you need God to move, because you need to go forward, not want to go forward, but need to go forward, you need God to bring you through a trouble, through a trial, or through a problem. You need to move on through that thing. And here you stand at the Red Sea. You're looking at it. It's bigger than you are. And I mean, it's just so great big. It's astronomically big, and you can't do nothing with it. And the army's breathing down your neck. And God is saying, just stand still. Just stand still. How hard or how easy is it just to stand still? You remember one time that the nation of Israel made themselves a captain to go back to Egypt? They had got fed up so much with Moses and with Aaron and with God, that they made themselves a captain to go back. They were going to go back. After they'd seen God do all these works, they were still going to go back. So God says, "Fear ye not, stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord." Verse 14, "The Lord shall fight for you and ye shall hold your peace." 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Most of y'all know this scripture. I've preached on it numerous times, not only here, but in revival. But he said in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 17, "Is Jehoshaphat, King Jehoshaphat, and the nation of Judah is facing all these enemies. Three different enemies come together at one time. Here's what God said. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you." That's the place where he said, "Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee." They were all over praying and fasting and seeking God. And God gave them the same word that he gave back to Moses and the nation of Israel at the Red Sea. Just stand still. You're not going to have to fight. Just be pointed in the right direction. You can't do anything right here. You can't fight your way out of this. You just need to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Watch God work for you. Have you ever watched God work for you? Have you ever seen God work for you? Some Christians, some believers, let me say that like this, they just mosey through their Christian life. They go to church on Sunday, they tithe. But yeah, and I'm not saying they're out in wicked and vile sin and all those things, but God's not considered in their home half the time, and they never read your Bible. You know, you tell me that you want to be close to God, but do you ever read your Bible and pray? How about it? I mean, don't tell me that you want to love God and that you do love God if you won't pick His book up. You're lying to you and to God and to me too. I've got enough problems reading this book myself. I know how tough it is. I understand how hard it can be. But listen, if you love God, if you honestly want to live for God, want to draw nigh to God, you're going to have to read this book and pray. You're just going to have to. Psalms chapter 27, he said, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart." Wait. You know, it's in waiting that God strengthens us. It's in waiting in Psalm chapter 62. "My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him." It's in God that we not only find strength, it's in God that we not only find courage, but it's in God that we find our expectation. Knowing that He is capable and able. You know, there is a difference between hope and expectation. Hope is we're waiting on something. And there may be a reason to wait, and there may not be. But with expectation, there is a reason. You know, it's kind of like this. If I expect you to come by my house, do you know why I expect you to come by my house? Because one or two things has happened. I have either invited you to come by my house at a certain time, or you have called me and said, "Preacher, I'm coming by your house at a certain time." There's expectation there. You know why I not only hope
that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again, but I have an expectation that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again because He told me so. So Moses tell them to go forward. If you look in verse 15, and the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? I believe Moses had begun to make his supplication and his prayer. I believe he began to say, Lord, these people are murmuring. Man, we're in a mess down here. I don't know exactly what Moses told him, but he said, look, Moses, don't cry unto me anymore. Just tell them to go forward. Set yourself. Get in the right place. And you'll get to see me work. And you know what happened? The way became very plain, didn't it? If you look in verse 21, the Bible says right here, and Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Look in verse 29. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. They got pointed in the right direction. Moses said, Lord, what are we going to do? He said, tell them to go forward. Wait on me, but get ready to go forward, and I'm going to do something. So, can you imagine when God sent the wind in there? God blowed on that thing, didn't He? Rolled that water back. Now, He didn't roll it back the size of our church. I mean, you've got 1.5 to 3 million Jews standing out here that need to cross this water pretty fast. I don't think God made a little bridge, a bridge-like thing over here, you know, for them to cross. I mean, He parted this thing wide, you know. And not only did He part it wide, but He heaved it up on both sides. The Bible said that the water become a wall to them. I always wondered if there was any fish in that water. And could they see the fish swimming around in the water? You know, kind of like going to the aquarium, whether in Chattanooga or whether up in Gatlinburg, you know, you can see the fish swimming around in the water. I kind of wonder about that. You know, could they see the fish swimming around in the water? And if they could, I bet them fish wondered, now who are these people? Think about that. You know, they might have thought it was strange looking at the fish, but I can guarantee you the fish thought it more strange looking at them. And not only did God part the waters and heave it up as a wall on both sides, but then He dried the ground up. Now, ain't that just a miracle in itself? You ever seen where water's been and then it dries up? You know how long it takes to dry the ground? I mean, the water might be gone, but you know how long it takes to dry the ground? It takes a long time, don't it? God in one night not only parted the waters, but He dried the ground where they could walk across. They didn't mire up. They didn't get stuck in it. I believe they was kicking dust as they went. I believe the way was pretty plain. Tell them to go forward. God performed the miracle that they could go forward. They crossed over. And by the way, when they got over to the other side, God killed the enemy, didn't He? Look in verse 23. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea. Boy, they were dumb, weren't they? Even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians,
and took off their chariot wheels, and they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians." And the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come up again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and upon their horsemen." And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. Not only had God parted the sea where they could cross, not only had God dried the sea where they could go across on dry ground, but then when the army, the enemy, gets in the midst of that, God closes it up on them. Now there is a great type of salvation in all that. It was in the blood of Jesus that He rescued us. You think it's any wonder that it was called what? The Red Sea. They could not cross the Red Sea to get over there. The enemy could not get to God's people through the Red Sea. And by the way, you can't get back to Egypt the same way that you come out. If Israel went back to Egypt, they couldn't go back the same way they come out. In other words, you can't get unsaved. You might go back up there and live in the world, but I'm going to tell you what, you won't get there the same way that you come out of it. So you know what happened? God made a way for them to go forward, didn't He? What did they do? They went forward, didn't they? Have you ever stood there and scratched your head and said, "Lord, there's not enough money for us to go forward. There's not a way for us to go forward. There's not a way for this to happen. There's just..." And you stand there, and then all of a sudden, you see the waters part, and all your doubts evaporate. Going forward may not always be like we think, but God wants us to go forward. Number four, and last of all, when God does something for us, then we need to praise Him. If you go read chapter 15, that's what most of chapter 15 is all about. They sung and they praised Him not only for whipping the army, but for the ability to go forward, to go and do what God wanted. Let me tell you this, when forward seems impossible, then stand and wait on the Lord. Don't back up. Don't become idle. Stand there and wait. And remember that God said, "Go forward, go forward." In these last days that we're living in, forward may seem like an impossibility with things that may or may not be coming against us as a church. But I can tell you this, if God says go forward, He'll make a way for us to go forward. I don't know what God's wanting to do in your life or what He's trying to do in your life. But I know this, that if you are being told to go forward, then you just need to set yourself to go forward. And if you can't go forward because the Red Sea is standing out there, then you wait on God and see for God to do something. Let's bow our heads today if we would.